chapters 1 through 7 deal with God's plan for the nations of the world, for all of the Gentiles and all of the human governments. They're all summed up in different ways, especially in chapters 1 through 6. And we have focused especially on the Babylonian Empire. And then we come into the second half of the book. We're not quite there yet, but that second half of the book really focuses especially on the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, and God's plan for them in the future. And so we see God's sovereignty and God's being in charge of all of human history, especially in the book of Daniel. So we're coming here to Daniel chapter 6. This is a familiar chapter, Daniel in the lion's den. And Daniel is part of a new government. We saw the ending of the Babylonian Empire last week in chapter 5. And yet we still see Daniel having a very vital part in the next empire, the empire of Medo-Persia. And so let's look at this chapter here. I'm going to begin reading here in verse 1 of Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then the men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled to the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in the heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Come here to chapter 6, and we see that there's a new king in town. Chapter 5, the king Belshazzar and probably his father Nabonidus, the two co-kings in Babylonia, they had been defeated. The Medes and the Persians had come in, and now we find another king named Darius that had been set up over the kingdom of Babylonia. Of course, Cyrus was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, and it's likely that this was perhaps a general in the Medo-Persian army that was put in charge of Babylonia. And Darius here is setting up his administration. And he's organizing it as any new leader would, as we've seen here in recent weeks, new administration being organized. That's what Darius was doing. He's organizing his kingdom. And what do you know? We find that Daniel is being sought out. And Daniel is in such demand that we see in verse 3 that the king thought to set him over the whole realm. It's very interesting that Darius is doing that. The reason for that is that it had been many years that Daniel had been in Babylon. Daniel was a young man when he was taken into captivity. We know about when that was, and we know that it's been over 60 years since that time. And Daniel is likely in his 80s. Daniel is getting older. He's getting up there in years. But we find that Daniel is still faithful. He's still being sought out to be an administrator in the new kingdom. I heard on the radio a couple weeks ago about a man who had passed away. He was 100 years old in Mansfield. Maybe you heard of, his name is Dick Taylor. I don't know if you've heard about him, but he was the owner of a metal products company in Mansfield, and they were given a report about him on the radio saying that he never retired. He always went into work, even as an old man. And he was in charge of a certain area that was still ordering the steel. And maybe that's what kept him going. I don't know. But here we see Daniel, he's still going into work. He's in his 80s, and he's still being sought out. But what stands out in this chapter to me as I read this is the example of Daniel's faithfulness. In fact, the scripture says there in verse 4, for as much as he was faithful. Daniel was a faithful man even until the end of his life. He was basically the same person even when he was 80 years old. Maybe he's 85 years old, but he's still a faithful man. And I want you to see two things tonight in this chapter. First of all, the evidence of faithfulness that we see in Daniel's life. And then the blessings of Daniel's faithfulness. The blessings of Daniel's faithfulness really stand out. But what's the evidence of faithfulness here in Daniel's life? The first and most obvious one is the consistency in his life. Daniel had survived a regime change. Nebuchadnezzar was the king when Daniel was taken captive, and Daniel rose to the top, and Daniel served with him. And then there was Nebuchadnezzar's successors, a couple of them, and then Nabonidus and Belshazzar, and Daniel was still with them and being sought out in each of those changes. We see that that seems to bother people. For whatever reason, it doesn't say whatever reason it was here, people didn't like Daniel. Maybe they didn't like him because the fact that he was put into such a high position, or because he was a Jew. Imagine that, you know, people not liking somebody because they're Jewish. Could have been that. But we see that Daniel is consistent. And then we see another evidence of his faithfulness here really stands out in verse 4. Notice verse 4 again. The presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Another evidence of his faithfulness is his blamelessness. These people, for whatever reason, they don't like Daniel, and so they go looking for some area that they could latch onto and accuse Daniel of something. And what's the result of that? They can find nothing. They look at Daniel's work in the kingdom, and they scrutinize it, and they can find nothing. And I can imagine the areas they tried. All right, let's look at Daniel. Is he late? Does he come into work late? All right, nope, there he is. He's showing up. What about his handling of funds? Let's look at that. They look at, the funds he's handled. Sure enough, every fund, every dollar is accounted for, whatever they had back then. Or maybe they're looking at his communication. Let's look at his letters and see some of the things that he said. See if we can find something that we can accuse Daniel of and report it to the media, and so that they can spread it all around. But what do they find? Nothing. Nothing. Blameless. Tremendous testimony of blamelessness. And so, because they can't find anything in Daniel's work, they decide that they will have to come up with a different way. And we see how they counsel together here. At least three times in this chapter, we see the phrase assemble together. There in verse 6, the presidents and the princes assembled together. And then you notice over in verse 11, it says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. And then in verse 15, then these men assembled to the king and said unto the king. Daniel is being sought out. And everybody's against him. They're taking counsel, and they're trying to get Daniel to fail here. And so they come up with this law, this 30-day decree, an executive order. Of course, we've heard a lot about those in the news. And so they get this decree, this executive order for Darius to sign and proclaim that no one's going to be allowed to worship any other god except Darius. And Darius apparently thinks, hey, that sounds like a great idea. I'd like everybody to worship me. And so he signs off. And then we come here to verse 10. And here we see a third evidence of faithfulness. And that is Daniel's courage. Daniel's courage. Notice verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. If you were Daniel and you knew that there was a law signed that said you could not pray to anybody else except the king, or else you'd be thrown in the lion's den, it probably would have been pretty easy to come up with an excuse not to do it. Well, maybe I could skip it for a month. It's just a month. Maybe I could just try to do something a little bit different and get by with it. But we see that Daniel didn't do that. And very dramatically here in verse 10, it says, when Daniel knew the writing was signed. So it wasn't that Daniel didn't know about the decree. Daniel knew about the decree. When he knew, he had a decision to make. What am I going to do? But there wasn't much deliberation. It tells us that he simply went back and did what he always did. He kneeled and he prayed before the Lord. We see his tremendous courage as an evidence of his faithfulness here. And then a fourth evidence I think we have to notice about Daniel's life of his faithfulness here is his prayerfulness. What really stands out about Daniel is that he is a man of prayer. He was a man that is committed to prayer. Verse 10, probably could preach a whole message from verse 10 here. But I want you to notice that commitment that he makes here. It says that he goes into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know, Daniel is a pretty important guy. And he is a leader. He's a high-level administrator in a country. And I think it's reasonable to assume that Daniel would have been pretty busy. Probably his days would have been packed with meetings and, things that he had to accomplish. And he probably couldn't get it all done in a day. That would be my guess. Scripture doesn't say directly. But we see Daniel's commitment to prayer, even in light of the fact that he was probably a pretty busy guy. And yet we see that he had the habit, he had the custom of praying in his home three times a day. Evidently, he saw that fellowship with God was absolutely essential to his life. He may have had, I'm sure he didn't have email. He probably got hundreds of emails, hundreds of letters in his mailbox, and he's got to respond to these. But wait a minute, he's got to take that time for prayer three times a day. He knows that he needs that, even though he's got a lot going on. And we see that Daniel had already had a commitment to prayer before this crisis. You know, it wasn't that Daniel saw the decree that had been written and thought, oh no, I need to start praying. I better get busy praying. This is going to be bad for me. Things are going bad in my life. Now I got to pray. No, that wasn't Daniel. He already had the habit of praying. He didn't wait till the crisis, till things got bad, and then start praying. He was already praying. It was already his habit. And I want to say something about the habit here as well. Notice at the end of verse 10, it says that he did this as he did aforetime, three times a day, as he did aforetime. This was his habit. You know, sometimes we are looking for something a little more fresh and more lively in our spiritual lives. You know, we need something new, we need something different. And sometimes there's a place for that. But, what Daniel had learned at this point in his life, that he needed to develop the habit, the discipline of prayer in his life. And I don't think that meant that Daniel had a great experience every time he went to prayer. But I think he learned that in order to have a spiritually refreshing life, he needed to develop a habit of prayer where it was something that he just did. And I think we need to learn that. We need to learn to find spiritual refreshment in the daily disciplines and recognize that, there are special times that, give us refreshment. But even more than that, underneath all that needs to be a foundation of discipline and habit, and that there is refreshment as we develop that. and Daniel, that was something that was true here in Daniel's life. Daniel's commitment to prayer. And then I want you to notice also Daniel's characteristics of Daniel's prayer here. We have to notice that. In verse 10, it says that he's praying towards Jerusalem, which, by the way, that's significant too, because what's going on in Jerusalem right now in Daniel's day? Nothing. It had been defeated. So Daniel has his hope towards a city that is, you know, there's nothing going on right now. It's people have been taken captive. But he has a hope that God's going to do something there in Jerusalem. But notice what he's praying here. He kneels three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. We see that Daniel's prayer was, first of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. Now, why in the world would he be thanking and praising the Lord in a time like this? He's got people out to kill him. And the first thing out of his mouth when he's praying is, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've given to me. Joyce mentioned Philippians 4:6. Daniel didn't have Philippians 4:6. But he was practicing it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So Daniel's prayer is, first of all, a prayer of thanksgiving. And then we see in verse 11 that the men found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. The idea of supplication is he's asking God for help. And certainly in a time like that, we all would be asking God for help. Asking God for his grace, for his guidance. Daniel was a man of prayer. What a tremendous evidence of faithfulness in Daniel's life. His consistency, his blamelessness, his courage in the face of danger, and his prayerfulness in his life. And I want you to notice the blessings here of Daniel's faithfulness in his life. Of course, the men here come and they find Daniel right where they wanted to find him. And then they go to the king, and the king is very sad that he has to do this to Daniel. He's developed a relationship with Daniel. He sees that he's been tricked. And ultimately, because of the law of the Medes and Persians, you know, they can't go back on these decrees that they make. And so the king is forced into it. He's got to throw Daniel in the lion's den. But I want you to notice what the king says in verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. First blessing of Daniel's faithfulness, I think we see in his relationship to the king there, and that is the personal influence, the personal testimony that he had before Darius the king. Somehow, Darius had the confidence that Daniel's God could deliver him. And I wonder if that's because Daniel had some conversations with Darius about the one true and living God. Daniel's faithfulness was a testimony. And maybe Daniel was able to tell Darius about his three friends that many years ago had been thrown into the fiery furnace and how God came with them in the fire. Maybe he told them about other ways that God had delivered. But Daniel had a testimony. His faithfulness, his actions were a testimony before the king. And maybe it was the personal speaking about God, or maybe it was just the living out of a faithful life before the king. But the personal influence here. And then, so we see Daniel going into the lion's den. The den is sealed there in verse 17. And then the king is having a horrible night. He can't sleep at all. And he's eager to see what happens in the morning. And he calls out to Daniel. Verse 20. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, for they have not hurt me. Notice that God delivered Daniel completely. When the king shouted down into that lion's den, you know, Daniel didn't say, O king, my left arm's gone. My toes are gone. But I'm still alive. God delivered me. No, that's not how God did it. God delivered Daniel completely. He shut the lion's mouths. And, you know, some people have said, you know, maybe Daniel had a better night's sleep than the king had. There in the lion's den. Why was that? It was because God sent his angel and had shut the lion's mouths. When we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we noticed how God delivered them, and I think we see the same thing here in Daniel's case. You know, God could have delivered Daniel in a lot of different ways. He could have protected him from even going into the lion's den. He could have killed the lions and made the lions completely ineffective. You know, he could have done something about the law. Made Darius disobey the law and protected him from the lion's den. But as is with the case with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so is the case with Daniel. And we see how God oftentimes chooses to work in our lives, in the lives of his people. And that is that sometimes he doesn't deliver us from the fiery furnace. Sometimes he doesn't deliver us from the lion's den. But what does he do? He goes with us into the lion's den. He goes with us into the fiery furnace. And what a wonderful comfort that is, that God can take something that seems so bad, something that's going to be deadly to us, and God makes it a tremendous blessing. God sends his angel. God shuts the lion's mouths. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we see in verse 33, in this hall of fame of faith, of characteristics of these people that believed in the Lord, verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's what happened in Daniel's case. Daniel believed God, and God protected him. We see the blessing of divine protection. God protected Daniel from the lions, and we see that God protected Daniel from his enemies. Verse 24, the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. God not only protected Daniel from the hungry lions, but he protected Daniel from all the men that hated him. And God brought judgment on those men, and the lions finally had their breakfast in the morning. The blessing of divine protection. And then we see a third blessing in verses 25 through 27. We see the king making a proclamation, and he makes a decree here in verse 26, and in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be ever unto the end, shall be even unto the end. Here we see the blessing of a public witness. The blessing of a public witness. Now, Daniel is simply faithful to God. He's simply being obedient, true to God in a time of distress. He's courageous. He simply goes to prayer, and God turns all of that. He rewards, he blesses that faithfulness with a testimony to the king, with divine protection, and then turns all of that into a public witness, even a worldwide public witness to the faithfulness of God, to the character of God. This king signs a decree, sends it all around. The people would come to know Daniel's God. And that was all as a result of Daniel simply being faithful to his God. If we learn one thing I hope that we learn tonight that God blesses faithfulness. It may not be a spectacular expression of faithfulness, just simply being faithful to pray. That's all it was in Daniel's life. And God rewarded that. God blessed that. And God can do the same in our lives as well. If we will be faithful, if we will develop these habits in our lives, we can have the spiritual refreshment that Daniel had. And we have the same God that Daniel has. And so we need to commit ourselves to be faithful in spite of whatever it is that's going on around us. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great example of this man who was faithful to you even when he was up in years. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have that same faith that Daniel had, that we may develop the courage that he had, that we may be people of prayer like Daniel. Lord, we thank you that we have the God of Daniel, that you are able to deliver us, that you are able to go with us into the lion's den, into the fiery furnace. We thank you that we have your word and these precious promises. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.